There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, the last one of these for 2021. A lot to do on today's show, and my friend Cameron Smith is our leadoff batter, and he's on the way in just a second. But as we come on the air right now, we have breaking news. I said we have breaking news. Update here on the Conecuh situation as it stands right now on this Thursday. Here's a statement from Conecuh Sausage corporate officials said the supply of Conecuh is low because of high customer demand, shortage of raw materials, and labor force, end quote. They said raw materials, including meat and spices used to make the product, are in short supply throughout the country. This limits what we can produce. That's how it works. And of course, nobody is lined up there to watch this because nobody wants to watch sausage being made. So right now we've got this issue, and this has been discussed through the morning show as well, and Jeff's show, Conecuh sausage situation. I know some of y'all are showing off and flexing on the text line with your stacks of Conecuh sausage in the freezer. I've seen some updates here just in the last 5 minutes or so. Some people, like Doesn't Have Meta, on the text lines trying to threaten me into giving them Conecuh sausage that I do not have. Michael in Mobile says the three grocery stores I shop at in Mobile have totally taken in their Conecuh sausage section. They've taken it out and don't have any in stock. Jordan says I found plenty of Conecuh at a store Christmas Eve. Couldn't find a cocktail sausage or crescent roll, but I did get Conecuh. Well, Jordan, you've stacked up there. Let's see. And now Tony asked me not to say it, but Tony, I can't do that. I do want to give y'all an option here too. Well, I'm a big Conecuh fan. I also like Monroe sausage, another Alabama company making great. We've had them at events in the past. Monroe sausage out there, it's very, very good. And this may be if their supplies are good, this may be a danger for Conecuh because, you know, this is going to be a time that people may move to an alternative brand. We have it there. Breaking news, other sausage companies take advantage of Conecuh's supply chain issues and take market share. Monroe sausage, good stuff. With all this very heady news, let me bring on our friend Cameron Smith, AL.com, the Triptych Foundation, for some initial man on the street or man on the tie line reaction. Hey, Cameron.
John, if there was anything I was ever prepared for, it's to engage the black market with Conecuh sausage. We had Conecuh last night. My crew, we crush Conecuh sausage about 4 pounds at a time.
Wow.
So, you know, we go through mass quantities of Conecuh sausage, and, you know, I'm your pusher man. I mean, you know, let's just put it like it is.
So you're moving that weight. Are you doing this? How are you doing this? Who's like the dark web where people make these deals? How can people find the options for highly overpriced Conecuh sausage?
Well, I mean, the interwebs. And actually, we're working on blockchain technology to move this.
Conecuh to crypto.
The next thing that's coming out is Conecuh coin. And it's going to be all the rage. We're going to get rich, John. I just know it.
It's a tasty way. By the way, do you all have original recipe, or do you have any of the other ones, like the Cajun and the spicy and the cracked pepper and all that good stuff?
What you need, we can make it happen. Just, you know, on the down low, like, you know, and sometimes if it's laced with other various meat products, that's just the price you pay for, you know, dealing in some hot sausage.
Okay, I'm going to give you all contact information at the end of the show so you can get in touch and get that. Kaneka from the Pusher Man, Cameron Smith. All right, lots to talk about. I want to talk about your most recent column. I'm talking about just came out over at AL.com. The real COVID-19 pandemonium isn't a virus. Well, then what is it?
Unfortunately, it's our political class. And I learned this in writing the column, for particularly for all you parrot heads down there in lower Alabama. A group of parrots is called a pandemonium. And that is what our political class has become. They just, we have a feeling and they parrot it back. We don't allow them to like actually tell us anything useful. And what's happened with COVID-19 is we've just got a lot of platitudes and a complete failure of leadership. I mean, the collapse here has been a huge problem. And we all feel it. We can see it. That what do we do now? We started off with mass chaos, shutdowns, everything. Everybody's like, what's going on? Oh, okay. We need these vaccines. Okay. Let's be good and stay away from each other for a little bit while they develop the vaccine. Oh, the vaccine will allow life to return back to normal. President Biden said, hey, if you do this, you can get rid of that mask.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did that. And then it turns out that wasn't true. In fact, social distancing, we still probably ought to do that and probably ought to wear a mask. And then it was, well, maybe not, and maybe you can get together in certain contexts, but not in other states in the same context. And it just got weirder and weirder. And then it was like, well, you'll need a booster now, but we don't know how many boosters you'll need. And this has just gotten weird, because the last iteration was this Omicron thing may not kill many people, but everybody's going to get it, and it doesn't matter whether you're vaccinated or not. And what's happening is this complete lack of leadership, this complete lack of, hey, here's the plan, here's the truth, here's what we're going to do. So this is what it looks like for the near future, and maybe some ideas on midterm and long term. That's not happening. The politicians are saying, follow the science. And what they mean by that is, we don't know what to do. So we're going to defer to somebody like Anthony Fauci, and I know your audience feels strongly about him, but here's the deal. He's a nerd. He is a science nerd, and that's great. We want scientists developing vaccines and studying this stuff and really, really engaging. We do not need them out being the messenger explaining what we need to do, because that's not their skill set. That is not Anthony Fauci's skill set. It hasn't been over his whole career. And yet we've got a president who literally is inaccessible to the media in any meaningful way, who's sending out his chief medical advisor to just speculate wildly across cable news platforms about what's happening and what we need to do.
You know,
and it's awful.
Been saying this since very early on in the pandemic, and you talk about leadership and leadership from elected officials. I think part of leadership is actually not being definitive. And what I'm getting there, all these things you just listed, and it's a litany of things we can where they've screwed up and they change and they move the goalpost and whatever cliche you want to add. That would have been solved, I think, some if you had honest people say, hey, here's what they're thinking right now, but we're not sure. I mean, we think this might work right now, but they're still working on it. This is called a novel virus because it's new. Instead of coming out and saying definitively, this is the thing and this is 100% guaranteed, and then they just step in it all the time.
Yeah, all the time. It's constant. And what that does is it gives a foothold for the people with anti-vaccine pseudoscience who are in the corners of the internet saying, oh, look, see, this will kill you or magnetize you or all of this. And what they're really pointing to is vaccine hesitancy doesn't come from, you know, a lack of science. mRNA technology has been around for a long time. This is not, you know, insane science. It's that we don't trust the people that are saying, hey, you should get vaccinated, because they keep saying things that turn out not to be true. And that's where I am sympathetic to folks that are like, hey, you're telling me I need to get a booster now. Okay, fine. I mean, I did what I was supposed to do. I got vaccinated. Now it's a booster, but that booster may not help me actually not get COVID. What's going on? And it's creating, and it's just this cloud of distrust and confusion. And people say, well, we need to fire Fauci. No, we need to fire Joe Biden. We need to fire a lot of our leaders who don't know how to lead. And it's not the idea that Anthony Fauci should ever be a front man for any type of policy or plan or calming the public is ridiculous. That's the president's job. That's our other elected officials saying, hey, guys, we don't know exactly what's happening. This thing's changing a lot. We do know these vaccines can reduce the severity of some of the symptoms, but we don't know whether they'll protect you from everything. And that's honest. That's true. But most leaders aren't coming out and saying that. It's here's a random statement that proves to be false, and then it hurts everybody.
And they can never come back from that. And here's, I mean, back to this, the way I look at it, and with my personality, I'd last about 28 seconds in Washington. But you talk about the vaccinations, and we can talk about how it's more a therapeutic than a vaccination. But you could come in, and there are stories where people really have died from vaccinations, and you have blood clots, and you have other issues. Now, they are, as a percentage of the overall vaccines, not huge. But when you pretend that they don't exist, you lose faith in people. I mean, if you could come up and say, here's what we're doing, here's how many people have been vaccinated, but surely, here's these stories where there's blood clots or myocarditis or these things in these certain groups, be frank about it and be honest. Don't pretend, don't omit when you talk, because the second you do that, nobody believes anything else you say. And maybe that's a better way to be.
You're totally right. And this information, for example, on vaccine reactions is publicly available. You can point to the number of people that have had real issues with this, and they do. They absolutely do exist. That is the case for every medical intervention since the beginning of time, particularly with vaccines. We know there's some percentage, it's a small percentage, that have adverse reactions, and a small percentage of those are severe. And that is the reality for many, many, many medical treatments, and that is not a reason to say, hey, we shouldn't do this thing at all. It's, hey, there's a risk here that's extremely small against a risk that's, argument would be not catastrophic, but a lot more of a risk than the risk of being harmed by the vaccine.
And especially you deal with Omicron now, for what we know, once again, to how I would act in Washington, what we know right now, that could change, but what we know about Omicron is it's you know, not particularly virulent. It spreads easily, but it's not doesn't hurt the host. And actually, some stories out there are saying that this may be some kind of push towards herd immunity, because so maybe people will get it and have antibodies without getting that sick. I think you can say that there's a puritanism going on, right? Of groupthink out of Washington, that you can't admit anything else because it's going to diminish vaccines. And the American public hears that, and then now they don't believe another word you say.
Yeah, and trust is way, way, way more important than fear. And what folks do when they come out and say, we're going to have a winter of death.
Yeah, thank you, President.
I mean, come on. You're the President of the United States. You campaigned against the other guy that said extreme things all the time. And you're like, no, we're going to be calmer, cooler. Winter of death. Really? and that to me is dishonest, because it's not being serious. It's saying, hey, actually, what we're still learning, but this new variant is really contagious, but it doesn't look quite as harmful. And that's not don't go get vaccinated, don't get a booster.
That's being honest.
Honest. Yes. Honesty is really, really important right now, because let's be honest, I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican, you do not trust Washington. You do not trust our leadership. On the state level, you might trust it maybe a little more, but not much. And we need to get over ourselves and the notion that the only leaders we can elect are the ones that tell us exactly what we want to hear. You know, for a lot of Democrats, you know, the be afraid, mask up, get your vaccines and everything is exactly what they want to hear. Well, that leaves a lot of Republicans sitting off to the side. And when you tell Republicans, hey, don't worry about it, no big deal, a lot of Democrats are like, never going to hear that. When you're honest, you can be a good faith broker with both sides.
Yep.
And I think that's where we're just missing radically. And we need some new blood. We need better people who are competent, who can communicate, and who have empathy. It is, I mean, I look at Donald Trump and I see somebody who very decisive, but doesn't have a lot of empathy. I see somebody like Joe Biden that seems like a nice guy, but is incompetent
yes.
when it comes to communicating and developing a plan. And, you know, neither one's great. And so that's on us. We're the ones that elect people. We're the ones that put up leaders for our own benefit. And we're doing a bad job because this is just ridiculous that we're where we are with this pandemic.
Coming right back, more with Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation. Speaking of the Washington angle there and the state's angle, what about that, too? As President Biden, who's pretty much feds, we're going to solve this yesterday, says, well, maybe the states ought to do this. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 12:25, FM Talk 106.5. Continue our conversation with Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation. Maybe that was it. Maybe Washington thought the actual vaccine was deficit spending. The deficit spending would kill COVID. They tried that a bunch. I
mean, Washington's a one-trick pony. I mean, it's throw money at a thing. And shockingly, a virus does not, you know, accept bribes. And the idea that there's, again, this is just an incoherence in leadership because they throw the money around. They say, states, here is some money. And then a state like Alabama is like, you know what? The virus has impacted prisons, so we should probably use that on prisons. I'm not saying that Alabama doesn't need to address its prison issue. But the idea that we find ourselves in a situation where our response to a pandemic is to blow money out in such a random way that a state uses it on prisons is just weird. And, I mean, you can say what you want about the policy decision. I mean, Ivy operating kind of in her zone as, hey, I got to manage what I have to deal with. But the fact that was even possible is insane. And this is the problem. And again, I keep saying it, nobody likes it, but this is on us. We have to have leaders who can communicate to us hard truths that we may not like to hear. And they're going to say things like, you know what, these vaccines lower the severity of whatever this yep. COVID thing is and the different variants. It is not a silver bullet. It's not going to kill the thing, but it makes you so you're out a day or two as opposed to 10 and maybe in the hospital. That's, I mean, that's honest. And the anti-vax folks are like, no, terrible. And then the other end of the spectrum is like, well, you know, you really ought to tell them they're all going to die because, then maybe they'll get the vaccines in their jugular. I mean, it's this weird, like we're making everything into my team versus your team. You know, let's just fight cause, and we got to get over this. And, you know, I saw a picture of, you know, Jerry Carl doing an interview in his suit jacket, cargo shorts, and flip-flops, and I realized maybe there's hope for us yet because the leader of the beach people, you know, can maybe talk some sense. I mean, we've got to find the leaders that are just going to be honest. It's not an unreasonable ask, but it's where we find ourselves.
Hey, before we wrap here, too, that shift, pretty interesting. And I don't think this makes a difference in midterms. I think it's too narrow. But, you know, to hear so much rhetoric out of President Biden, you know, the federal response is the only way to go. Federal, federal, federal. He was going to get rid of the virus, not shut down the economy. And then yesterday he said, maybe this is something the states should do. That sure sounds a lot like former President Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at this point, Biden's a clear albatross for Democrats. I mean, literally what he's got going into the new year is, well, we got an infrastructure-y thing that, you know, honestly, it's just not that it's important, but it's not sexy to talk about. And everything else has been pretty bad. Immigration, Afghanistan, inflation. I mean, when people can drive around and look at the price at the pump and say, thanks, Joe Biden. I mean, whether it's his fault or not, I mean, that is a serious challenge for Democrats heading into the midterms. And I think, you know, his poor leadership with the pandemic. I mean, talk about testing. He campaigned on we're going to have better testing. It's still not there. We can see it. We see the lines. We see the issues all over the country. Democrats are just they're in big trouble. And, you know, their only hope is Republicans somehow manage to screw it up.
You know, people can deliver a value meal by drone to your home in some places and make a profit. But still, with all the money and no need to even make a profit, we can't get the test available that they said, oh, it snuck up on them. My foot, it snuck up on them.
No, it didn't. And I mean, you can put $1 billion in my backyard and tell people to fix testing. It won't happen. That money will sit there until somebody tries to steal it or something. And I think that's what Washington doesn't understand. You can't say, we're going to throw money at a thing and hope you do it. You have to know how. And that's where the lack of competency is really hurting the Biden administration.
Well said. People want to reach out to you online. How do they do it?
Come find me at al.com/opinion or at D. Cameron Smith on Twitter. Join the conversation and Happy New Year, folks.
Happy New Year to you and the fam. All right, man. Y'all have a great one.
You too.
And thank you for the tennis shoe recommendation. This has been fantastic. These things, I'm 2 inches taller and much more comfortable, so they're good. Right, news coming up next. We'll take your calls at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1235 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Coming to your phone calls and text here in just a second. Right now, I want y'all to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars as we wrap up 2021. What's inventory looking like on the lot?
Looks great. Matter of fact, I'm walking down through our three rows of trucks right now. We haven't had three rows of trucks in quite a while, and they are selling pretty quick. But we've got a great selection, two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, crew cabs, single cabs, double cabs. Like I said, on all different makes, models, and colors.
I'll tell you something y'all did for me, and you'll do for other people too, is that Headhunter feature. If there's a kind of truck they're looking for, you'll go look for it for them.
Absolutely. We'll search high and wide. As a matter of fact, we've got the big screen TV in David's office, and we can pull up and show them all the different models, colors, options, where they're at. So it's an easy way to do it.
All right. Let's talk about this. Your hours for this weekend, what are they?
We will be here all day today. Tomorrow is going to be till probably kickoff at a particular bowl game, and then we will be closed Saturday and back on Monday.
All right, Larry, I appreciate it. How do people find you?
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Please like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Sean.
Happy New Year. 1237 FM Talk 106.5. All right, we'll get into some of the text here. Although I wanted to I've got so many stories here I want to get to, but I do want to run through your text here because good stuff. Okay, David, enough. So just splattering all these. David, this is insane. David's Connecticut. You ought to make sure. I'm not going to use your last name, David, for you and your family's safety. Okay. With that kind of, he has got, I mean, when I say piled up for Kaneka sausage, he is piled up. Unnamed texter said there was a half a pack of Kaneka sausage spotted at an unnamed grocery store in Theodore. Half a pack, I like it. Yeah, Chris says, worst comes to worst, we can catch the hamster at the movie theater, make sausage out of him, but just not very much. But he says, is it Kelly's? Is very good also. Monroe is, I love the Monroe sausage. I'm a Kaneka fan, but I love the Monroe sausage. Buddy says, Mike says Monroe sausage is the best and doesn't leave you with heartburn that Kaneka does. Monroe sausage, and it's another Alabama company, which I love, and a good sausage, so check that out. DW says, last time we were at the store at the Kaneka plant, December 10th in Evergreen, they had plenty of sausage. Any word on their inventory there? DW, I don't know that, but they're saying that their supply chain's getting them and they can't get the ingredients and they don't have anybody to work to make the sausage. Nobody wants to watch happen. So they said that's why the shortage is out there. Now that's, Jay says the Publix at Airport and University is out of Connecticut. That's bad, Jay. That's by the house there. Now, see, here's an update. So they're asking about supply. This text says, now they're jumping on me. They're jumping around. Too many texts coming in at one time. Okay, Larry, thank you. Larry and Atmore stopped at the Connecticut plant right off 65 in Evergreen. Oh, I know it well. They had lots of sausage, bacon, hams, and turkeys, but this was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, see, that's a problem. Unnamed texter said, Sean, you're asking the government to be honest. I am. I don't expect it. I'm not naive, but this is something I've talked about since I've been doing talk radio. That I think, you know, when I watch politicians get in a, fall in a briar patch, and if they would just be frank, like, they could even push vaccine. Just be honest about antibodies, be honest about some of the dangers, some of the percentages out there. That doesn't mean it's anti, but they think they can't. Because the second you say anything else, therapeutics, you talk about ivermectin or whatever, then you're not, you know, stepping along with the goose step there. Not saying they're Nazis, but you're not lining up. And I find that unworkable for grown-ups. I mean, they're talking to grown-ups out there, we would hope, right? Even though I think we average an eighth grade education. I think that's what they used to say in politics. You write your speeches for eighth grade level. But I just say, hey, we think right now let's go back a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever. Think right now this is the best technology out there. This is what we're looking at. Now, things can change. We don't know everything, but this is what we're going with right now. There's also these other ways people are trying to tackle the virus. I mean, I don't know why that's so hard. Grant says we're going to nuke the Dems in the midterms like Hiroshima. Put you down as undecided. Yes, Maximus. Maximus says, old Obama said it best, Sean. Never underestimate Joe Biden's ability to blank something up. Yes. So my buddy Don here says, fortunately, we deer hunters don't have to rely on Conecuh. I just finished a 10-pound batch of hickory cracked pepper and maple Donecuh, deer necka. Good stuff. IT Jesus said, I personally have got and recovered from COVID and got the vaccine. I personally feel that I don't want to anyone's crap about wearing masks or being afraid of my own shadow anymore. Everyone can take their mask and mandates and shove them, I'll edit this, in their ear. All right. this is good. Terry says, tell Larry Kirby I'll trade a mustache and Conecuh sausage for a Silverado. Hey, the way the prices are these days, it might be a good trade for Larry. Hall's is good. Yes, doesn't have I do like Hall's. Thank you for reminding me. I like Hall's meats, too, out of Chickasaw. I was, like I said, 2 days in a row we're talking Chickasaw. You know, we talked about that yesterday with the millage. Lived there for many years. Myrtlewood Avenue, what's up? Hall's is good. Somebody else right here, unnamed texture. Have you ever had Hall's sausage made in Mobile? Dare I say better than Conecuh? I think it's a good tie. I like their products. I do like Hall's. I like those folks, too. I like the stuff they do on social media. They're, I don't know who it is. I don't have anybody's name there, but I like their branding. I like what they do. Jalapeno cheddar sausage from Farm Fresh in Robertsdale. It's good. Oh, yeah. I have had that. Jerry says commie, but not Nazi. Jason says people really do need to try Monroe sausage. It's a better product. Jason, I agree. I like it. I don't know if it's better. I like it equally. Maybe I don't have the refined palate. Any of those good sausages, you know, they're like Alabama-made stuff. I've never had one and said, oh, that's not good. Jay says, eighth grade, that's being more than generous. Dunning-Kruger effect is in full force in social media. I'd say it's closer to the fourth grade. Okay, memes, I can't process quickly enough. Somebody says here, unnamed texture, you know, the Democrats will cheat like in 2020. They will exaggerate up another George Floyd situation and keep up the mandates and masks, continue early voting. I think they're seeing it as a loser, unnamed texture. I mean, that's why yesterday President Biden, I guess, finally said, oh, maybe the state should do this. Maybe the state should do that. So it sounds familiar, doesn't it? It sounds a lot like former President Trump. Mike says Rouse's carries a good supply of Monroe sausage. There we go. So well, maybe we need to have just a sausage. No, not a sausage. Somebody suggested Sausage Fest would be the new show. We're not going to do that, but we're going to might have some more sausage talk as needed. By the way, speaking of meats, next week, my friends from the Alabama Cattlemen's Association are going to join me to talk about, here we go again. You know, here we go again. Remember, we were in this position before, and I run some cattle, and people would call me and say, hey, you really killing it now, Sullivan. I'd say, what? They said, you know, for what we're paying for beef in the store, I said, listen, producers are not killing it. We're not killing it. The prices were way down at that point. And you have four meat packing companies that control 85% of the market. There's who's been killing it. There's a story on Reuters came out. It said meat packers' profit margins jumped 300% during the pandemic. It said four of the biggest meat processing companies using their market power in highly consolidated U.S. market to drive up meat prices and underpay farmers or ranchers have tripled their own net profit margins since the pandemic started. This is something we've talked about in the past here on this. It's you've got these, you can produce the beef, but if the meat packers aren't going to take any more, they're raising the prices. The producers aren't getting that money. So Kaylee Green's going to, no, actually, I think Aaron Beasley from Alabama Cattlemen's Association is going to join me next week to talk more about this. We break this down. I continue with my plea to have more local packing. You know, the way the local vegetable scene, which I love so much, which, by the way, Patty at Allegri, thank you for the hookup. I walked back in my office there, and there's some collard greens ready to go. This is awesome. Thank you. You know, the way they do at Allegri with locally produced, we don't have to worry about a supply chain issue because the supply chain comes from across the highway over there on the Allegri farm. But on the meat side, we need to do this as well. We need to have more local processors being able to pack meat that's sold in stores right here at home. So, I mean, we don't have a supply chain issue, and we're not stuck behind trying to get through this. These four companies that control 85% of the market is a big story. They're actually moving some legislation up in Washington about it, and we will talk about that more coming up next week. I'll tell you what, we'll go to the break and we come back. We could talk more about, you have anything on this Ghislaine Maxwell verdict? Ghislaine Maxwell convicted yesterday of five federal sex trafficking charges after the jury concluded she played a pivotal part in recruiting and grooming teenage girls to be sexually abused by her close confidant, the wealthy financier, Jeffrey Epstein. This from NBC News. Okay, that part we can talk about, but and hit the sentence, and I'm sure there'll be appeals aplenty, but it says she was found guilty of five of the six federal counts she was charged with and faces up to 65 years in prison. The judge has not set a sentencing date. Now, just a side note here, I think one of the more important things, okay, Epstein got suicided, right? So he's out of the mix. Ghislaine Maxwell, we'll see what happens. So it would be probably even too much for the machine to kill her off, knowing that everybody's watching. But what about, somebody said this on, many people said this on Twitter, and I agree with them, and some of these people are from the far left or moderates or whatever. What about the Johns? Is a term, I mean, what, there were other people other than Epstein. They're now trying to make the, you know, that it's just about Epstein and just about Ghislaine Maxwell. What about all the other people? Is this going to be, like, these are the sacrificial, which they're not lambs at all, sacrificial wolves here, and then they're going to say, all right, everything done here, nobody else involved in this, and seen. Does that worry you? Hey, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Oh, Boon Pie News update. We'll get back to other foods here in a second, but this on no supply chain issue here. Which, by the way, I hear, too, that my friend Cammie is going to start the Moon Pie ice cream production coming, I think, on Saturday it gets started. So be ready. I think they're open till like 9 on Saturday for that. So it's good. The banana Moon Pie ice cream is, well, it's, I don't have control over myself around it. It's that good. It's amazing. But, yeah, I got this from Downtown Mobile folks talk about what's happened here. It's a moon pie media advisory. So the world's largest edible moon pie is arriving in Mobile today. Why don't we bring this in from elsewhere? The media will have an opportunity to video or photograph the moon pie today at 2:30. What I would suggest, Carol Hunter, that it, maybe we can get our pictures made with the moon pie. Now, there would be a thing, like, stand, like, you know, like, they'll bring a trophy out or something, you stand and get your picture made with. I got a picture of myself with the Aflac duck. I got to post that up. It was a horrible picture, but when I was up in D.C. for that conference in late September, early October, that immigration reform conference, went to an event, the congressional baseball game, and we were at the Nat Stadium, and they had a, like, different suites or whatever. You go and visit this congressman, that congressman, whatever. Go in there. One of them had the Aflac duck in there. I said, yeah, I'm going to get my picture made with the Aflac duck. It was all you thought it would be. Okay, so back to this moon pie. Moon pie fun facts. Weighs 55 pounds. So the moon pie, the big moon pie, 55 pounds, 45,000 calories, 14 pounds of marshmallow in it, 18 pounds of chocolate icing. It is, okay, so it's 6 inches tall and 40 inches in diameter, and they said it will feed 300 plus. Well, it depends on who's eating it, Carol. I mean, you know, depends how hungry they are. All right, so there's your moon pie update. And go through these texts here. Somebody had texted me, a named texter said, I can live with winter being stuck in a container off the coast of California, but no Kaneka sausage. This is ridiculous. Well, think about this. You're getting angry, and many others on the text line are. And while we think back through American history, okay, and there's tea was a big issue, and a lot of times these were tax issues. Tea, but how about the whiskey tax? Remember, they bring that whiskey tax in, and you got the whiskey rebellion or whiskey insurrection, a tax protest beginning in 1791, ending in 1794 during the presidency of our first president, George Washington. You had to bring troops in to deal with the whiskey tax. They put this tax in, and the people were not liking it, and it started a bigger rebellion. What if it starts here? This is just the small grass fire starting that turns into a prairie leveling blaze, this issue about sausage out there. So I don't know. They're not that they're taxing it any more than other products, but they're, you know, you got the issue with supply here. All right. It's an unnamed texter. Can't Jerry Carl, so Congressman Jerry Carl, push to use the Defense Production Act for Kaneka? You know, now we're talking about serious stuff. You know, the DPA has been used for produce vaccines and masks and ventilators and all that kind of stuff. Now you can now you could make sausage production. How would you streamline that? Make people go to work? I guess they're having a not just supply issue at Kaneka, they're having problems with people coming up to take the job. Imagine that. My friend Ashley in Loosedale said, the other day my husband put urea on 50 acres, cost $1,000. Last year it was $200. Ashley, I have a whole side discussion about how to, it's not just that I'm a hippie, but my green fertilizer discussions is because of that too. I have them on the Outdoor Show, which, by the way, Outdoor Show with Mike Ward and myself, Saturday mornings at 7 here at FM Talk 106.5. I'm with you. The fertilizer costs are unbelievable. Unbelievable. Doesn't have Meta Sullivan Slaughterhouse in the works? I need somebody else to do that. I'll do the production side. They can do that. You know, now Tony is getting on to me that I'm causing panic buying. Tony, I think the panic buying's already happened. He said, do you realize the constant talk of Kaneka shortages is fueling panic buying, don't you? Remember the toilet paper at the outset of COVID? Those who did not learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them. Terry says, so after the Maxwell verdict, is it all over with abs, the names won't be named and charged? It's this Maxwell verdict, I mean, it's going to be appealed. I know that, but we're missing. If they're going to say, well, this is the terminus of this, that this is over here. We got Epstein suicided himself, and now we got Ghislaine Maxwell in prison. Now everything's good. We're done now. Watch that story. Push on that story. I want the officials to come out and tell me there's no one else. right? If there's no one else out there, tell me. Come out and have a press conference and say, we have done the investigation into this, and there's nobody else that we can charge with this. There's no other person that we, in our investigations, we see no one else to pursue on this thing. Come on, man. This is a railroad job. George says, why are the meat packers not considering, price gouging? Great question. There's a bunch of different things that go into price gouging. You have to have, and maybe because we're in the pandemic, George, you're right, but you have to have a state of emergency declared for there to be price gouging laws. That's a state thing, though, so I don't know on the federal side, but you know what? Got Erin Beasley on next week from Alabama Cattlemen's, and I will ask her that question. Yeah, Chris, Happy New Year to you. And Roll Tide. Roll Tide, roll, Chris. I am ready. Donate Leftover Koneka. There's no Leftover Koneka. And Drop with the Moon Pie crowd going through Koneka withdrawals. Oh, that's a great shirt, DW. He's got him a Koneka t-shirt. I'm jealous. All right, Ray Bellick, 1819 News, joins us coming up in just a little bit. The news is next. And I'll be answering your Koneka text here during the break. It's Midday Mobile. We're FM Talk 106.5.